This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Happy Earth Day to you on this Tuesday. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. A few people I want to thank real quick before we get going on this segment where it feels like the most important Texans kind of indirectly campaigning for who the Texans should select at 25. Before we get there, thank you to, first and foremost, B. Scott for joining us for an hour, as he always does on a Tuesday. Always fun to talk to our guy. And B. Scott's thoughts was interesting. I didn't think that he would, back down is the right word, but he showed some trepidation after one game.
A little uneasy.
Shout out to Farron. Farron is the texter who wanted a shout out. Happy birthday. I appreciate you. Also appreciation to Lady T on the Twitch chat. She sent in cookies, even though I specifically asked if you wanted to do something for me, put it on the Houston food.
Hey, we ain't listening to you, bro. Man.
What you mean?
We ain't listening to you.
Yeah.
These cookies are
you
nice.
You can't tell us what to do.
Why don't you donate one over here?
Yeah, I will donate one over there. That is fair.
And it will be for a good cause.
It's a great cause. For,
all right. Like I said, it is my birthday. Lady T.
Lady T.
He didn't even hear. He just heard cookies. He heard cookies. He's like, this is a woman's name.
He said, what's her name? Barbara?
I thought he said Julie.
Who's that? You said Ethel? Thank you, Miss Ethel.
Esther? Okay.
Beulah? Was Beulah her
Not
name?
Beulah. That's crazy. All right. So C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr., I think those are your respective leaders on offense and defense. It's kind of crazy that those dudes are heading into year three, both of them, and they are easily the most well-respected, probably the most powerful guys on those respective sides of the football, and probably a couple of the most powerful guys if they were the type of people to exert their will in the organization. Is that unfair?
No, that's absolutely fair.
I don't think that they're that type of guys, especially because of they fit very squarely into the swarm mentality that the organization seems to have, which is fantastic. But they were both talking yesterday, and indirectly, because they're also, again, they're not going to try and impose their will, but indirectly, they both kind of made campaigns and cases for what the Texans do at 25. I'll start with the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He was asked about a college teammate of his, Emeka Egbuka, and I think there's a lot of people who are looking at the possibility of wide receiver at 25 or in the first round to give C.J. Stroud some help. And so this is C.J. Stroud talking about Ohio State draft prospect Emeka Egbuka.
Yeah, me and Emeka, we were very close at Ohio State, and just time goes on, you stay connected, but it's just different, not being in the same building and stuff. But man, I do. He can call me anytime. It's my brother for life, and I'm super proud of him. Just the man he's become, the man of God first and foremost, and just that leadership that he's brought. And I remember him being like this number one recruiting receiver coming into our school, and and he came in. We just wanted to work. And so I know that he'll do the same thing, coming into the league, and he's going to have no problem adjusting. I think he's going to be a long-time vet, just somebody who's going to make a lot of plays, reliable, going to block, going to do everything that you ask him to do. But first, he's going to be a leader. And I'm just excited to see, him work out and G. Scott and Trey, all those guys, JT, Jack, all those guys I was there with, to see them, turning the corner on their college careers. And we're developed there. We're bred there. They teach us a bunch. They're hard on us.
All right. Now he's just talking about all his Ohio. He's going into the Ohio State.
You were spitting right there.
He was. I know you OH spitting, all that. Man. I hear you. We're focusing on Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver. So it felt like he was making a case, and not just that.
Kind of, sort of, right?
Well, I mean, not intentionally, but I think if you listen to what he's saying, I think that he makes a pretty strong case for why Emeka Egbuka should be the pick at 25. And, of course, we'll do this on the other side with Will Anderson Jr.'s conversation. But the things that I heard, and tell me if you hear them the same way, and this is even when he was just getting – well, he's talking about man of God, and I was like, oh, that sounds great. It sounds like Bible study will turn up. Yeah. Tank Dell, C.J. Stroud, now just throwing Emeka Egbuka, and we right there in the vibe of what this team is built, which is guys who like each other and want to play for each other, which isn't always the case, and I don't think it's inherent.
Commonalities.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary to have a good baseball or basketball team. Football team. Eventually I was going to get to the right sport. A good football team, but I do think it helps, especially in what they're doing. But on top of that, listen to the way that he described Emeka Ibuka. Makes a lot of plays. Reliable. Willing to block. And is just going to do what you ask.
Mm-hmm.
If D'Amico Ryans was building a Houston Texans player in a lab, does it not feel like those would be the sugar, spice, and everything nice that he'd put into the pot?
I mean, for sure. You know, the thing that's worth noting and you have to note is there are a lot of players that do that.
Yes.
And they're not all wide receivers.
Correct.
You know, what I got out of it was the kind of sort of like, first of all, he's not going to say anything bad about anyone from Ohio State.
Certainly, but he put a lot on.
Yeah, it did sound sincere. And I think, you know, sure, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, let's say we go back 2 years and the Texans actually ask him about Ibuka, much like they did Tank Dell. I think he would go to bat for him. You know, that's where I would land with it. It's like, he's not necessarily, hey, you got to draft him. But if they ask him, he's gonna give him all the information.
No, and I think you're right. But yeah. When it comes to Ibuka, I think that he did a good job of highlighting the things that make Ibuka kind of a special prospect, which is that. Like, this dude has a maturity that is different than, I think, a lot of wide receivers that come in where he just does everything right. Like, there's sometimes where talented wide receivers where, you know, they're so talented and they like to take a little leeway in the ways that they run the routes. And I think there's a level, sometimes some of that leeway is granted to them. This dude just kind of does the things that he needs to do. Like, when it comes to a route, he is just where he needs to be consistently. He runs great routes, mind you, so you don't have to worry about the quality and the caliber of the routes. I did appreciate the willingness to block, because that's not a guarantee when you talk about wide receivers, but it has been
noted. It's a non-negotiable here.
It is, and he fits in with that very nicely as just a very high floor. Like, I think I've heard draft evaluators talk about him and just like, you're not – he is probably as polished as you get when it comes to wide receiver dropping in this class immediately into that space. Even the dude who probably is the best wide receiver – who I think a lot of people are not even considering in their wide receiver rankings because he's just something else, with Travis Hunter, he is not even as close to as polished as Emeka Ibuka. So especially when you consider what this team is drafting that type of talent for, to immediately be able to impact the league right now, Emeka Ibuka feels like one of, if not the best, like, options when you talk about adding talent to what this offense does.
And especially on a good team. I feel as if the term high floor gets a bad rap.
Sure.
I really
do. Because it typically goes with high floor but low ceiling.
Yeah, well, it does, but also, like, he has a high floor and people think, like, that's a bad thing. Or like, well, maybe we should go with someone else who has a high ceiling. No, high floor makes you a lot of money and wins a lot of games. You know, that especially on a team that has receivers already that are proven, like Nico Collins and Christian Kirk.
Did you make him Nick Collison, Seattle Supersonic and Oklahoma City Thunder?
A high floor is a good thing. Don't think of it as a bad thing.
No. So that is the one case on one side. Now we go to Will Anderson Jr., right? Mm-hmm. The spirit of the defense, the dude who is always effervescent, bubbly. He has that kind of energy to him. This is him talking about a dude that he played with in college and his relationship with the draft prospect, the offensive lineman out of Alabama, Tyler Booker.
Tyler Booker, man, I speak very highly of him, man. Great character guy, but I think he has all the attributes you need to play the offensive line position. He's a mauler. He loves to finish blocks. His leadership skills, his mentality. He wants to be the best, and he's really hard on himself. And, you know, I'm kind of the same way, and that's what builds you up. That's what makes, you know, who you are. And he has all those things, man, and I can't say enough good things about him, man. And wherever he end up, he's going to change that team, change that program, and change the offensive line for sure.
Change the team, change the program, change the offensive line. Does that not feel like something that this Houston Texans team is looking for, at least the fan base is looking for, when it comes to this offensive line in the 2025 season?
They've been
looking
for it since the last game of the 2024 season. They made the changes. Their actions have said as much about that as anything we would say, you know, in terms of, like, the room and all that stuff. No, they mixed it up, you know, no matter what you might hear about, well, it wasn't necessarily about this or that. No, their actions said that they're trying to find that type of mentality in the room.
Called him a mauler, talked about his leadership. ability. And one of the things that it sounded like that I thought was really cool is he basically likened him to himself, Will. Mm-hmm. And I know we've heard Tyler kind of talk about the ways in which Will Anderson Jr. was in some ways insightful to him and his growth as a player. I take you back to yesterday when D'Amico Ryans was talking and he was asked about like how his scouting ability has gone up. And he's like, if I could find Will Anderson Jr., you could hear the smile coming through the microphone. If Will Anderson Jr. is endorsing Tyler Booker as someone that is like him, does that not sound like something that the Texans would jump at the opportunity to have?
For sure. And both these players, you know, clearly are talked about a lot with the Texans. You know, we do have to just sort of measure it a little bit.
Sure.
That's an Alabama guy talking about an Alabama guy. That's an Ohio State guy talking about an Ohio State guy. So you know, it's not like take it with a grain of salt, not to that extreme, because there's benefits to it. They know those guys. You have to believe when he talks about, you know, the way that he conducts his business, or Ibuka as well. All I'm saying is, you know, they're not going to say anything bad about it. So you do have to, you know, measure it a little bit.
No, of course. They're not going to say anything bad, but I also don't know that they were glowing about both of these guys. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in particularly the ways that I think the Texans, it would hit the Texans' ears.
Sure.
Well, and so I guess the question that I ultimately had, because I found it interesting that obviously it's draft time. The people who are asking questions, they didn't just out of nowhere say, hey, let me talk about Tyler Booker. Let me talk about Emeka Egbuka. They were asked about them.
Sure.
But this juxtaposition is kind of interesting because, like I said, two very powerful, you know, dudes in this organization that spoke about these two players that very well could be there at 25 and could be decisions that Nick Casario and the organization has to make. Who you with? Like, are you with the Will Anderson Jr.? Are you with the CJ Stroud? Like, who would you want in that instance?
Especially
considering the ways that these guys describe those two players in those cuts.
I can't say this enough times because it just really is what I've been feeling for the last couple of weeks. I kind of want the offensive lineman, but I'm thinking the Texans are going to go wide receiver. I just can't shake that. Just the way that that reading between the lines, the way they're talking about. So I'm going to say Ibuka, or at least a wide receiver there.
Sorry, this is a text that came in that's a little bit off kilter. It's back. You called him Nico Collinson, and I was like, did you mean Nick Collison? And, of course, Ron Hughley, the show of Kansas upbringing. For former first-team All-American and most outstanding player of the West Regional Kansas Jayhawks, Nick Collison.
Okay.
That's a lot, dog.
Okay.
You didn't feel no shame sending that to me?
We get it.
Anyways, I don't think I'd be upset getting a Mecca Buka. Like, he is the wide receiver.
I think they're going to go wide receiver, guys. I mean, to a spoiler alert, I mean, I think they're going to pick a wide receiver.
Which is funny because it does deviate from, I think, what a lot of people are hoping for in that wide receiver two position, which is some speed, right? Mm-hmm. Some speed to kind of challenge downfield, especially without Tank Dell. Some speed to, like, get to what C.J. Stroud loves, which is those, you know, those deep shots. But I kind of just love the idea of a wide receiver who is just really on his grind, that is also going to add in the blocking game, that is just a largely or close to fully formed version of what you want, dropping that in and immediately going, let's go flourish. I kind of love that idea. Real quick before we move this along, though, from the 281, could you see a situation where they draft Tyler Booker and then trade up for Emeka Egbuka late in the first round, a version of CJ and Will?
It'd be a lot. It would take a lot.
I don't know that it would take that much. The only thing about it is Emeka Egbuka, even if he is, like, if he's not selected here, let's say you go
get into the first round, it's going to cost.
Booker, well, yeah, I feel it's like you might have to jump back into the first round.
I'm just kind of curious if they're going to be there enough to kind of jump up to get him. I feel like Emeka going to probably go earlier than we think.
Oh, see, I don't. I don't.
Yeah, I think he's getting a lot of run. I feel like somebody going to grab him before 25.
I mean, you get back into the first round, you're going to pay.
Yeah, but could you see early second? Because one of the things I was thinking about, especially if you get an offensive lineman that you feel like very, very nicely steps in and could be your replacement, like on in one of those tackle spots, like especially for Laramie Tunsil, like for like, that would make sense, especially when you consider you trade out Laramie Tunsil, you're not paying his deal, and then you have the capital that you got for him, you put that back into the machine of sorts to bring out. Another, you know, he's not going to be Laramie Tunsil, or I can't assume that you get a guy that is Laramie Tunsil again when it comes to the pass blocking, but you get a dude who is a replacement at a much cheaper cost for more controllable, and you utilize the similar, if not, I mean, obviously I don't think you should use all of the same capital that you got back for Laramie, but you use some of that draft capital to get that player back. I don't think that's an unfair perspective to view this at. So I would be an advocate of actually maybe not trading up that first pick, but trading up that second pick, that 50, what is it, 58, and then moving up or further in the second round, earlier into the second round, and then getting another, like double dipping, whether it's sure. two offensive linemen or wide receiver and then an offensive lineman or mm-hmm. what have you, or offensive lineman and then a wide receiver in that secondary spot. But I actually would very, very much be in on that idea, taking some of that additional capital that you got from the Laramie Tunsil, putting it back in so you can double dip in this strong pot of talented players that it seems like are going to be there from anywhere from 10 to probably about 45 or something in the draft.
And the 979 says, if you look at their top 30 visits, 7 of those were running back. I find that interesting. Yes, I made note of that last week, but that's not a first or second rounder, I believe.
I think that might be more third rounder into that space. But yeah, we'll see how it ultimately plays. 2 more sleeps till the first round of the NFL draft comes up. For your Houston Texans. All right, you're in hand for the rest of the NFL, I guess. It's not just the Texans, just to be clear. But yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciation to the 346 X on the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line. Donated $33 for my birthday.
There we go.
I appreciate you. I believe that's to the Houston Food Bank. Yes, Houston Food Bank. So yeah, keep doing that, man. Support Houstonians on this Earth Day. All right, coming up next is typically the time where we do our lunchtime confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic, and we will do that next.
All right, this is going to be another embarrassing one, but it's
for who?
It's for me.
Oh, okay.
But it's what we do. It's what I do because I always like to be fully transparent when we're doing our confessions because that's the whole idea. So let me first play some audio from the NBA on TNT last night. And for lack of being able to see it, in the middle of a conversation, Shaquille O'Neal gets up and shuttles his way to stage right out the door. And this happens.
The other thing about Kawhi is,
You all right, big fella?
Yeah, I know.
Catching a cramp?
Go ahead. Keep talking, Chuck.
Yeah, we're on TV.
I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's that olive oil you've been drinking.
I know. Hey, take some matches with you.
Hey, yo.
Hey, listen, he couldn't hold it.
After
40, you can't hold it no more.
That's a first.
You can't hold it.
Unless he's got something. That wasn't something planned, was it?
No, not planned.
Oh, hey, it wasn't planned.
He was in the back talking about he's going to drink alcohol to clear up his
gut. No, he's been drinking olive oil
to clean his gut. It's cleaning his gut. All right.
So in the middle of the segment, Shaq, really had to go. Like, go, if you know what I mean.
Got to go right now.
Here's my confession. Figgy, you remember this. You probably don't remember exactly the details because I didn't tell you. So remember, it was in the summertime, and Reggie wasn't here yet, and we had Adam Spillane on. He was on the phone because it was a day game. And I asked a question, and then I turned to you. I said to you over the intercom or whatever you call this thing, the talkback.
The IFB.
IFB. I said, hey, can you ask him the next question? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I did that.
Oh, I did.
Oh, wow.
Nah, you did not tell me that.
I didn't tell
part.
You why. I think you thought maybe someone was at the front door or something I had to let in. I mean, when it hit like right then.
And it is miserable.
And it is miserable.
Was it coffee? Was that
I don't
induced?
Know what it was, but I can relate to what, sometimes the darndest times, all of a sudden it's like, oh. It's real. It's real. I talked back, I said, hey, Figgy, can you ask the next question?
I do love that Inside the NBA is the type of show where it's so loose, where it's fine.
Yeah.
That happens. Now,
couldn't happen on SportsCenter.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine one of the SportsCenter anchors just like, can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
It needs to happen right now.
Yeah.
Scott Van Pelt would never.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Yeah. But I mean, have you ever had to in the middle of a segment?
I did one, not in the middle of the segment, during the show, but it was one time I was running a game. Mm-hmm. It was a national game.
Oh, that's tough because you got to send the break.
I was the only one here. I was the only one here. And I'm like, man. So I'm sitting there waiting for the guy to call for the legal ID so I can play the legal.
Yeah.
And I'm sprinting out here to the bathroom, man. It was crazy. I couldn't have. Nobody could cover for me.
I asked Adam Spillane a question. And I didn't even hear the answer. I told Figgy, hey, can you ask him the next one? I just took off. I didn't hear two answers. And I came back, interesting, Adam, interesting. Moving on.
at the risk of being nasty, because I know we're talking about, movements.
It's a human condition.
I know. But we're also in lunchtime where, people are eating and stuff.
Yeah.
But those have to be the most satisfying instances where you're just
ultimately
I just need to get to get a little bit of this done. I just need to get a little bit of this done because I can't afford to really take care of this fully, yeah. But I gotta handle a little bit so that we relieve some pressure, and then, you know, just tighten up, you know, hold the line.
And it's up for us, not to feel sorry for us.
Oh no, our job is not digging no ditches.
Yeah, but we get 3-4 minute breaks.
That's it.
Like, that's whatever you can get done, and you can't even take the whole 4 or 5 minutes because mm-hmm. you still got to go and tidy yourself up and bring yourself back.
Yeah, sometimes you got to watch what you eat because sure, well, knowing you working, you got to watch what you eat mm-hmm. because if you got to go during the show, it's a coffee. Some people can't handle coffee mm-hmm. like that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, nah, you got to hold that off.
Yep.
Yeah, you coffee for later. So I was watching basketball yesterday, as I'm just going to be a mini confession is that I'm going to be entirely useless for the next month or two, because if there's going to be playoff basketball on every evening, and if you wanted to guess where Reginald Atatula is for the next few months, it is likely in front of someone's TV watching playoff basketball. I am that dude. But furthermore, watching basketball yesterday, and the Clippers got was an incredible win. It was a very good basketball game between the Clippers and the Nuggets. And I have to confess, and I mean this, I believe this thoroughly, and I'm not trolling, none of that. I believe this sincerely. Injuries have robbed us of what I believe to be the best postseason basketball player of all time in Kawhi Leonard.
That's bold.
It is. But
he's in the conversation.
The way that he...
Rookie year.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, and from his rookie year was more just like the defense and clamping people up. But as he continued to develop, mind you, continued to develop in that time where, you know who was an assistant coach on that Spurs team while he was developing and adding more updates, like an iOS update every year? Ime Udoka. But he just kept adding to his bag consistently. And, I mean, we've seen playoffs. Obviously, you can talk about 2019. With the Raptors, you can talk about various instances, even with the Clippers, although like outs around being hurt, where he get to a spot, he'll knock down shots, he will clamp people up, he will get blocks, he will steal the basketball, and he'll do it while looking like he is not happy with any of it, and he's just incredible. Last night, there was a point in time where he had 32 points on 12 of 13 shooting.
I think he finished 14 and 19, something like that.
Yes.
I mean, I put this down in my notes. That was a masterpiece. That was a basketball masterpiece that he put forth last night.
And he does it frequently.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that makes it infrequent is when he's injured. Mm-hmm. And outside of that, like, and I understand who I'm talking about. I understand that I'm talking about all the greats that have shown up in the postseason and done incredible things. I would put Kawhi Leonard up against all of them if he could have managed to be healthy.
I would put him up against him. I think he's in the conversation, but clearly, I mean, you know, you can talk about the obvious ones, Jordan and Bird and more, some more recent ones, but he's in the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yesterday I was out in the Woodlands. I had went over to the, Carlton Woods?
Yeah.
The
great place.
Yeah. It was an amazing place. Mm-hmm. I kind of did a little tour with the Chevron Championship. And afterwards, me and the wifey went to a spot called Fielding's Wood Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them. And I got to confess, I think I might be a jerk because...
You're not a jerk.
So
I don't know. I'm waiting. I'm going to hear.
Yeah, so we ordering our food, and I could tell the way she's ordering. She want to order multiple things or when it comes to like the side dishes. But she was like, you know what? What you getting?
Oh,
and
no.
So she's trying
to. Oh no, she was trying to use your side dishes.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so
that's nasty work.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, so she said, you know what? I'll do the mac and cheese, and she thought I was going to get the fries, and so I'm like, I get the same thing she getting, the exact same thing.
Oh yeah, you're a jerk, but I respect it.
Her mouth hit the ground. Like, wait, you not getting the fries? So, long story less long, I end up getting the fries, and of course
you
ate half of them.
Yeah,
nah, you should have stood your ground. I thought that was a perfect play.
Yeah,
I thought you played that perfect.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was a jerk move or if that was the right call.
It is, but it's also the right call. Simultaneously, both of those things.
It was. Make me try to order the fries because you
see what you're doing. Move.
Yes.
I see what you're doing.
And it's a counter. Work. Yeah. Just like in any sport. Like, hey, man, okay, punch. This is what you're trying to do? Are you trying to put me in the pick and roll? Or are we? We going to switch it. How about that?
Yeah, I'm going zone right
exactly.
now, man. Yeah, she do that all the time. Like, I don't know. I be wanting to be nice, but I'm like, man, I'm going to get the exact same thing.
You said middle open, or are we sending nine routes down the sideline? Yeah. How about that?
Either that or a real jerk move would have get some seafood because she don't eat seafood at all.
Hey, if it's any consolation, and I hate to just group all people together,
Uh-oh, that's never a good start.
But I am. All women do that. All spouses and significant others.
That is the opinions of John Lopez, John Lopez.
Ask them if they do it. They'll tell you they do.
Look, I didn't say I disagreed. I just said I'm not putting my name on it.
I find myself irrationally excited about something for the Texans draft watch party on Thursday that most people haven't even noticed. I'm like excited because I think we're going to actually get more than just a few seconds of the mariachis. The Texans mariachis are awesome. Like, and I saw that the mariachis are going to be part of the show. I'm going. I think you're going.
I believe so.
I think Figgy's going to the Texans watch party. So I would highly recommend everybody to get out there if you
can. That's at the Avenida, ain't it?
Yes, at the Avenida de las Americas. And I'm like, I saw the release and I went, oh, the mariachis are going to be there. I bet you, because all we get at the games, and I love it, and you know this, because I always stand up or whatever.
Yes, you always make
start,
note.
Start singing along.
I know I'm always good to get one elbow to the shoulder, like, hey, the mariachis.
Be quiet. But they usually play like 30 or 40 seconds. I think we might get like the whole, they're really good. We might get the whole spiel here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all excited.
All right.
About
I had not
that.
Considered that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the vibe is as people, hunker down. It'll be a nice little long wait, probably a few hours to get to 25 or maybe 19 or wherever.
Boy, Willis.
Two is crazy. I saw someone saying that you should see how stupid the Browns are and see if you can get them again. I'm like, I don't know if you can get them for
with
three.
With the third pick.
Yeah.
We have a trade.
That would make the night go a lot quicker, though.
Well,
I'll tell you
that. The second pick.
That would make the night go a lot. Oh, yeah, that's right. The
Browns
Giants.
Got the second.
Giants have the third. Mm-hmm. They've just become the same team in my mind, which is probably not fair to either.
Same difference.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it would make the night go a lot quicker if it's like, we're done at three. Or we're done at two. Mm-hmm. We got out of here. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Those are our lunchtime confessions. Again, appreciation to the men's clinic for helping us get those off. But coming up next, the Astros got a strong win, 7-0 against the Jays yesterday. Kevin Glossman on the mound was dealing until he wasn't. You had DeZenzo show up. A 7-0 victory. Was that the best win of the season for the Astros thus far? Let's break it down next. Happy Earth Day to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I kept trying to go around because, people not listening to me and actually sending cookies up here for my birthday instead of supporting the Houston Area Food Bank.
Just enjoy the cookies. I know I did.
The Houston Area Women's Center. I don't want to forget them. The Houston Area Women's Center doing fantastic thing for women in need. Those are the places that I asked you to support on my birthday.
Send a stripper up here for Reggie.
Hey,
Reggie.
Definitely support those women as well, but, hey.
They need the support too,
that's
man.
That's not what I asked
for. Yeah, they're going to
send one
college
up here for Reggie.
Y'all do not be listening, bro. Y'all really don't. But no, my point was, I got some cookies and I've been trying to go around trying to find someone to give them to, but I forgot the whole office is empty because they're out making sure that we do what Odyssey always does, which is going to actually activate on Earth Day.
Yeah.
And go do something to help the Earth. So if you can do that as well,
I'll be feeling bad. We never get to do that.
Never.
And that's why I try and bump it up. Do something responsible for the Earth. We all got to share it. So on and so forth. Something that was very responsible. It was a very responsible 7-0 victory yesterday at Daikin Park for Hunter Brown and Forrest Whitley and the Astros. I was about to say for Hunter Brown and the Astros, and I was like, damn, Forrest Whitley came out here in his 2025 debut, looked pretty good. 7-0 win. Is that the best victory that the Astros have put on tape in their 22 games of the season? Mind you, 11-11, first time they've been above 500 since?
Since when?
March 31st.
I was actually surprised. I didn't know they were 500.
They were 2-2 after they played the first game of the San Francisco set.
Okay.
On Monday, March 31st. So all of April thus far, they had not been 500. They've been sub 500 until they got to yesterday. But I think there's possibly two other games that you could put up in consideration against this 7-0 victory at home versus the Blue Jays. The first one for consideration. It was April 6th. It was a Sunday as they were trying to get out of Minnesota and head to Seattle. And it looked like they might be about to lose this baseball game. But then they put up two runs in the ninth to tie the game up. And then ultimately two runs in the 10th to win it in a game versus the Twins. And it really was. It was Altuve with a homer in the ninth inning that was able to get them over. And then actually he was the one who singled in the 10th as well to get them the win. But that one was huge because your offense hadn't been going, and you just got some offense there Josh Hader, obviously, he got the win actually in that one. I wouldn't go for this one necessarily. It was uplifting. You needed it. Ronald Blanco only went 1 2/3 in this one, and then the bullpen had to come through and all the way come around. But I don't know that that one fit what I would look at as like a great game. They needed it. It was good for them to get. The other one that I could throw up here, and I'm interested in what you would think on this, April 11th, they play, and it was, oddly enough, another Ronald Blanco start. This one, a 14-3 victory for the Astros over the Angels. And you got Yainer Diaz getting a double, but you had home runs from Isak Paredes. You had a home run for Yainer Diaz as well. This was Cam Smith's first home run game, if you recall. Mm-hmm. And then those guys all went yard in this game. And then, of course, you added in some other runs to get a 14-run game, 14-3 for the Astros. That's the only other one that I put up compared to the 7-0 game. And I'm still leaning with the 7-0. Where are you going?
Well, I wouldn't put the 14-3 game only because that was one of those days, hey, who wants a hit? Because they're giving out hits today. You know, who wants...
17 hits.
Yeah, who wants to eat? You know, it was one of those days where everything was going bad for them and good for you. So that happens. So I wouldn't necessarily say it was an impressive win, obviously. It was a fun win. But I wouldn't say it was the best win of the year. The other one is definitely in the hunt here. But we've kind of read that book before, you know, with comeback win, Jose Altuve's in the middle of it. Etc. I'm going to look at this a little differently in terms of yesterday's win and why it was. It might have been. I will say I think it was the best win of the year. And here's why.
I wish you had more options. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, that's true too. You got huge contributions from guys that are in their 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that was the most important thing about yesterday's win. Hunter Brown, he is your ace on this staff. There shouldn't be a question about that.
You want to stop down and talk about that a little bit?
At least for now. We got another text about it. We talked about it last week. I mentioned, you know, that I thought he would be the ace. We talked about it some with B. Scott today, but if you weren't listening either of those times, we just got a text, is he the ace? He is absolutely positively the ace of this staff, at least for now and for the foreseeable future in terms of this.
I don't think it's a for now thing. I'm willing to do this.
Yes, because here's the test. The litmus test is when you see Hunter Brown is pitching, you get excited and you have to plug in if you can. When you see anybody else on this staff, including Fromber, you're kind of like, ooh, you know, which one are we going to get?
I feel like it's a sigh of relief. Like Hunter Brown, yes. Anybody else is kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to get.
A true ace makes you feel like that. A true ace stops anything bad that's happening. They're a stopper, you know, in terms of a true ace helps your bullpen. Hunter Brown's your ace.
Yeah. And I mean, to go dig a little deeper into it, because I think you're right in just like the anecdotal sense of that feeling that you get when you see that name on the probable starters. It's like, oh man, okay. Mm-hmm. Hunter Brown coming back around for his turn in the rotation. All is okay with the world. But other than that, like in his last 24 innings, he has given up zero runs, which means to say in his last three outings of pitching, his ERA is a 0.00. And obviously, okay, you can say that's just the three outings he's had. You look at the entirety of his season thus far, a 1.16 ERA. Mm-hmm. And that includes days where it's very evident that he has his stuff going. And that includes also days where his stuff is not the absolute best, but he's just working around it, like, and he's pitching as opposed to throwing, which is one of those things in the modern MLB where you look at and you go, some dudes are throwers, some dudes just like have, you know, hard fastball or what have you, and can throw it really, really fast, and they just get over by that. No, he's doing a good job placing his the pitches and working around batters. Well, not even working around batters because he's just mowing them down at times, and I think that is one of the indications of a really good pitcher. Is just being able to utilize, whether it's a good day or a bad day, ultimately getting a result that looks the same. The word is consistency. It's the thing that we're clamoring for from various different places. You're clamoring for it from an offensive line, right? Know what CJ Stroud has in front of him so that even if it's not incredible, right? Yeah. If it's consistent, he can know what he's dealing with as opposed to like having to look down at his line, not knowing if this guy's going to get blocked on the end or not, right? It's the same thing we're asking for with Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet, right? You guys have to set the table. You guys have to be the guy that everybody else eats off of. And if we're not sure if you're going to be there in these big moments, how can you necessarily expect to beat teams, the best of the best in the NBA? But ultimately, that is what he brings to the table here is consistency. You know what you're getting out of a Hunter Brown start. You're getting 5 or 6, maybe 7 innings as you got yesterday, and there's not going to be a lot of runs on the board to where if your offense is going well enough, you have a good chance of winning a baseball
game. And it's more than that, too. You know, a true ace has variations of the same pitch. In other words, that's how you know, like, Major League Baseball pitchers, by and large, they're going to be able to put the ball where they want. They're going to have out pitches. They're going to have a good fastball. The aces have an out pitch that they can manipulate. It might be a changeup for some. They can throw a changeup that maybe comes in and fools a batter in a particular two strike count. It might be a two seam fastball versus a four seam fastball and the action that they can command off of that. For Hunter Brown, he's got at least two splitters. He's got a splitter that kind of hits the bottom of the zone, and then he's got a splitter that the bottom falls out of it. That's not an accident. That's a guy that has such command of his pitches that he can dial up that particular pitch in a different way as a strikeout pitch or hitting the strike zone type pitch. So yes, that's number one by far why yesterday was the best win of the season. But you're also looking at Forrest Whitley closing it out, another young guy that's had some struggles.
And you need more guys in this pen.
Yes.
You always need guys in the
pen. And
they're
good already.
Right. That's like your edge rushers. You can never have enough. If you have good bullpen pitchers, you feel great, right? And adding Forrest Whitley, especially if he can be that, I'm not going to assume that he's going to be that all the time, but if he can be somewhere close to that, you add another guy that you feel somewhat confident in, at least in situations where you talk about Hader and Abreu.
Yeah.
Are there any other guys that you feel good about in that? I think maybe, are you feeling decent about Caleb Ort or what have you?
Yeah,
you have some guys that, but if Forrest Whitley can add in there as another guy you feel confident about, that gives you some more confidence, I guess, so to say. But then you go further forward with, you know, some of the ways in which this was a 10-hit game for the
Well,
Astros.
Again, you know, just to put a bow on it,
yeah.
You had Hunter Brown, 26.
Sorry.
Forrest Whitley, the young guy that has been the stud. You had Cam Smith in the thick of things. We know about him. He's 21. And then you had Zach DiCenzo, 24 years old.
Showing off.
So you have four dudes right there in their 20s that were in the thick of why you won this game. It was not only impressive in the best win, it was encouraging for just this team moving forward.
Of your starters, 8 of them got hits. This was a 10-hit game, and there were no home runs. Ocho mentioned this earlier on the text line, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Thank you, Jim. Was that they did this without the benefit of home runs, and they stacked a few innings, right? They got a crooked number in the fifth and eighth inning of this game. So, like, they were able to, you know, move, you know, I guess, what's the right word? What's the right phraseology? They were just able to move the line, I guess, or what have you, and just stack hits. And
I always call it the conga.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
The conga line. They have the conga line working.
I mean, I very much would like to see power and slug come to this Astros team because it's necessary. But if you're going to be a team that gets on the bases and runs it, I could be comfortable with that because you're not always going to hit home runs. But seeing them do that, and especially the bottom of the lineup, right? As we mentioned, Cam Smith, Brendan Rodgers had a couple of hits in this one, a couple RBI himself, Zach DiCenzo. Like, it was everybody getting involved, especially the places where you go. If those guys can hit relatively consistently, just decently, you get back to a place where you are terrifying to teams because the thing that is the scariest to a pitcher, in my opinion, is a team with no easy outs. And the closer that you get to no easy, and I know that's a bold thing to say in this moment, but if that game, if you get anything similar to this game going forward, just the idea that every batter is going to make a pitcher, opposing pitcher work, that's the thing that would be giving me the most encouragement.
Yeah, and when you have that at the top of your rotation, then you can live with Fromber being a little bit unpredictable. You can live with guys that are just sort of coming along as best they can. And you can also live with this. You know, this defense has been a sore spot for me anyway all year long.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of hidden errors that this team makes because they don't have guys that can make plays that other big leaguers would make. And you can live with yesterday. I think I texted you about this. I think it was in the second inning that George Springer got on base, stole second, and then immediately stole third.
Yeah, they're still running on Yiner.
Because Yiner, they're like, oh, Yiner's catching? Well, let's go ahead and run. But you can get away with that because then he mowed him down. He mowed him down with one out and a runner on third. So some of those deficiencies, whether it's Yiner defensively or defensively in the field, you can cover those up.
Yeah, so A really good game for the Astros yesterday. Encouraging one for me personally. I don't know about y'all as well. From the 713, if Whitley can be that seventh inning reliever, we have the makings of a new Lidge, Dotel, Wagner. Oh, okay.
That's strong.
And I was like, Ocho, we're doing a lot once we start getting to that necessarily. But, I mean, I would like a step in that direction even. Right? Like, I don't know if I want to even get to that place where I'm immediately calling into question those names necessarily. But, yeah, man, just start moving towards that space. And that one did feel like a step towards it. They're back in action tonight. As I mentioned, Ronald Blanco versus Chris Bassett. And so,
who's, by the way, is stud.
He has been pitching very well. What is he?
A 0.77 ERA?
Yeah, sub one ERA. Yeah. That's so, look, it'll be very telling if the Astros are able to do any level of replication today of what they did yesterday. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to some of the interesting things that we heard from C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson when they talked yesterday to the media. We'll do it next.